right. So let's talk about the regime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, you said that you're bringing out another version of the book. So that's
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Excuse me. I decided to. Yeah, there'll be a new edition of Our Madhouse out on Tuesday. Expanded because the evil has expanded. I've had to expand the book and updating everything and adding a couple more chapters, including one called Busted, which is about how I was charged with violating the anti-terrorism laws by the Department of Homeland Security while I was investigating what George Bush did to the city of New Orleans, which they didn't particularly like. And then another chapter called The Theft of 2008 about how the U.S. elections are already fixed. And so I figure instead of – I'm always writing about it after the fact. I figure I'll do this one in advance.
And there's some mention of voter fraud and Karl Rove and the U.S. Attorney's controversy, which obviously
– Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm kind of in the middle of that one. I'm working with John Conyers, the chairman. What's happened is that when they went through Karl Rove's emails and made them public, there was a couple of gloating emails. One just dated this past February in which Rove and his minions are gloating that the U.S. media does not pick up the investigations of that British reporter, Greg Palast. And as you can tell from my accent, I may report for BBC out of London, but I'm simply an American in exile trying to report my news. And he's right. I mean, the U.S. media does not pick up my stuff. And he even attached, Rove's people attached an excerpt from Our Madhouse, like, ha ha, this is not what they're reading and not what they're seeing in America. You know, in a way, he's right. It's pretty much hidden.
And which bit in particular were they referring to?
Well, they were referring to what they were most focused and concerned about, frankly, was that I had obtained emails from Tim Griffin, Karl Rove's right-hand hitman, in which, actually dozens of emails, in which he was operating a scheme to challenge the rights of hundreds of thousands of black Americans to vote, of African Americans to vote. And what he was doing, this is pretty creepy, in the U.S. you register to vote in advance. You can't vote unless you've pre-registered. And what he was doing is he was sending letters to voters, to soldiers who were registered out of their home addresses. And if they were sent to Baghdad, the letters would be returned as undeliverable, and they would use that as evidence that the voter was committing voter fraud and knock out their vote. And so, in other words, the way that the U.S. system works, if someone challenges your vote and you're not there because you're in Fallujah or something, you don't know your vote's being challenged. The Republicans, I mean, I don't think the planet knows about this, and I can tell you that Americans don't know about this. The Republicans challenged 3 million voters, 3 million in the last election, the Kerry Bush race, and 1.1 million of those votes were thrown out, mostly because people had no idea that they'd been challenged. They had no idea that they were losing their vote. They targeted soldiers. Mission accomplished, Mr. Bush.
And yet, in that election, we saw a huge turnout and a massive growth in the vote. Did you have any suspicions about that?
More than suspicions, I did the calculations. And therefore, one of the chapters of Our Madhouse is Kerry won, now get over it. It was about how there's no question. In the U.S., the presidency is determined by the winners of each state. It's a winner-take-all in each state, and those electoral votes are added up. There's no question that John Kerry not only won Ohio, which technically went to George Bush, but he won the state of New Mexico, he won the state of Iowa, probably Nevada and a couple of others, unquestionably, if you counted all the votes. What happened was that all these votes were just thrown in the garbage. And in the case of places like Ohio, one thing I've added in the new edition of Our Madhouse is records from the state of Ohio where someone had literally crossed out, and you'll see the actual cross-outs on these documents, where they had crossed out and removed voting machines from African-American neighborhoods. That's why you had these massive lines. They deliberately removed machines so that there'd be gigantic backup lines, 7 and 8 hour waits to vote if you were in minority neighborhood. But if you're in a white suburban neighborhood, you walk right in and vote. That was just one of the games that they played. Massive challenges, guys with little Blackberries challenging voters as they came up. You know, no particular reason, but basically Democrats are black, and they're pretty much defenseless. And, of course, the U.S. media doesn't cover this because U.S. media doesn't cover anything that involves black people or poor people in particular. And they're not going to do anything that involves challenging the, suggesting that America elect the American presidency was decided by an electoral coup d'etat.
What does all this tell us about the state of American democracy? I mean, we have Tim Griffin, I think, was subsequently appointed as the U.S. Attorney for Arkansas, wasn't he?
That's right. Tim Griffin, the guy who ran the purge operation. You have to understand, it's against the law to target black voters. I've been working with an elections attorney, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the murdered attorney general. And he was saying, you know, this is a crime. This is a go-to-jail crime in America. You cannot target black voters en masse to take away their votes. This is what the Martin Luther King laws were all about, what we call the Voting Rights Act of 65, passed after King was gunned down. And you can't do this. So now you actually have a perpetrator, a criminal, as the prosecutor. The U.S. attorney means he's the chief prosecutor. So you actually have the guy who should be prosecuted being the prosecutor. I mean, that's the brilliance of vote theft. It is the perfect crime, because if you win, you become the judge, and you become the judge, and you become the prosecutor, and you control the whole system. So you can't be prosecuted. You're prosecution immune. You've won because you win the election. You steal the election, but you also steal the system of vote, of voter enforcement.
Increasingly, we seem to have seen, in terms of this U.S. attorney's scandal, the facts emerging that a lot of the pressure on these U.S. attorneys and the reasons for their dismissal seems to have been relating to their unwillingness to pursue voter fraud.
Yes, well, there is massive vote fraud in the United States, but it's committed by the parties and the politicians, not by the voters. Because no one's willing to go to jail just to cast a vote for a school board or even for president. I mean, just one little vote, because that's you do go to prison for that. And there were 120 million people who cast votes for president, and I'm trying to find 120 that committed fraud. And we can't. But that was driving Karl Rove crazy, because he needed to find, in other words, to cover up their own crimes, they wanted to blame the voters, not the vote manipulators, like the people out of Rove office doing all this mass challenging. They wanted to create a hysteria which would allow them to change the voting laws, so that they could make it harder to vote. In other words, because they're saying, one Republican is saying 5 million illegal immigrants are voting. Well, that just doesn't happen. Like I said, find me 5, please. And they can't. Well, apparently Rove was pushing very hard to get his prosecutors to find people and bring basically false charges against them. And in Armed Madhouse, I actually have an interview with the office of one of the fired attorneys, a guy named David Iglesias, because some woman, state politician, legislator named Justine Fox Young, that's really her name, Fox Young, she's waving papers in the air saying, I have evidence here of voter fraud. And when I asked her to show me those papers, she wouldn't, because she said, well, the U.S. prosecutor, the U.S. attorney is investigating this and bringing charges. So I called up Iglesias' office and said, you know, are you guys investigating? And Iglesias' people said no. And I said, he's a Republican prosecutor. I said, are you saying that your fellow Republicans are lying, making up false charges? And they were silent. And I took that as the answer was yes. And what I didn't realize is that his basically telling me that they weren't bringing charges, I didn't realize that they were pressuring him that if he didn't, he was going to lose his job. And certainly me, Rove does read my, as we now know that Rove has read our Madhouse, and he could see and underline the fact that Iglesias basically called him a liar. So that was the end of his job.
So in terms of that whole issue of election fraud, we've now got this HALT bill, which is an attempt to try and fix up some of the problems that's not. Do you have any views on how effective
it's
likely
it's, you know,
to
it's
be?
One. It's such a small one. They've moved way beyond. The HALT bill is intent on eliminating computer voting in the United States, paperless computer voting. Because we absolutely had at least one congressional race, obviously, rawly stolen. Catherine Harris, her old seat in Congress, was stolen by the Republicans. There were 18,000 votes that were simply disappeared in the computers. They even admit it. They said they can't find 18,000 votes. Can't find 18,000 votes. They just disappeared electronically, zap. And all in Democratic areas, and that race was decided by 500 votes. That's created a push, finally, to say no more black box voting. But that's just the least of the problem. That doesn't stop the challenges. That doesn't stop the new game that they do this with these registration forms in America is to throw out the registrations. 1.5 million registrations were just rejected, which has never happened. It used to be in America, you want to vote, you register, and that was it. No more. And people don't even realize that they're filling out a registration form to vote. Then they go in to vote, and they're told, you're not registered.
Do you have a view on the new governor of Florida?
It's what I call the dead body bounce. It's hard to go. They drop so low with Jeb Bush that this guy is a fragment better, but not much better. I mean, the one thing he is pushed for, but I don't know if he's going to do it. I think it's more window dressing than not. Is this whole game in Florida, which I had uncovered, of knocking out voters as felons. And who aren't felons at all. But the only way to fix that, by the way, there's no way to fix that. The records are impossible to clean up and fix. It's a mess. So what you have black people who came over as slaves who have the number of common names, you know, the number of John Smiths and Jesse Jacksons amongst African Americans is enormous. You cannot work on a basis of saying, oh, well, there's a guy, Jesse Jackson, should be removed because he's a criminal. You have to eliminate this whole business of having non-citizens in the U.S. And I have to tell you of saying that if you were a felon, you can't vote. And only Florida and a few other states, like 6 states out of 50, say you can't vote if you have a criminal record. You don't, you know, this non-citizen status is left over from the Ku Klux Klan era in the Soviet Union. The European Union has just said this is, you know, crime against humanity. You cannot tell people that they aren't citizens.
So do you have any hope? I mean, are the Democrats taking this whole issue of the decay of democracy seriously yet? I mean, we've seen in Ohio that there has been some prosecutions over the weekend.
Well, there's been some prosecutions too late. Like, you can't, it used to be when I did racketeering cases, if there was a crime, then the fruits of the crime were seized. Well, it was the White House, which is the fruit of the crime. So I think that, you know, that should be seized and turned back to the public. But that ain't going to happen. But here's what is happening: people are waking up. They can steal a lot of the votes, but not all the votes. About 4.5 million is in the new edition of Madhouse, is our estimate for 2008. In Ohio, people were so disgusted by the theft of the election, by a war gone crazy, by auto plants closing all over the state, that the Republicans were blown so far out of the water that the main vote fixer, for example, the creepiest vote fixer, a guy named Blackwell, the Republicans had controlled the state of Ohio, and when he ran for governor, he got only 1 in 5 votes. I mean, he was demolished. Even Republicans refused to vote for him. It became so embarrassing. So people wise up. Well, we did have, and the Democrats coming in. You know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. But it has opened up the possibility, as we're seeing now in Congress, of investigations. I did a story for BBC Newsnight, BBC Television, about these creepy guys, vultures who were buying up African debt and basically. Seizing all the money for debt relief for Africa meant for AIDS medicine and pocketing it. I mean, it's this whole creepy process that these guys have, and they're all cronies of George Bush. I ran that story on BBC, and one of our powerful Democratic congressmen went right into Bush's office at the White House and said, Greg Palast, I want you to watch Greg Palast's accusations, and I want an answer right now. What's happening to the AIDS money? Now, that could not have happened before the Democrats took control of Congress. I mean, some Democratic congressman couldn't be a chairman of a committee, so he'd have no power. This guy had the power to kick in the White House door and demand answers. And Bush knew he had to give some answer, even if it was bogus, because otherwise they'll subpoena his all his guys and haul him in to get the answers. And so that's a big difference. The information and now we have a debate. After all, the prosecutors were fired last year, but there was until the new Congress came in, there was no investigation.
Few seconds. Yeah, one last question I was going to ask was, we've now got obviously to the point with the U.S. attorney scandal and these lost emails that lost all these emails that that there is in fact some progress being made at the White House level by the Democrats. Do you expect it to go further? Do you expect Gonzalez to fall
well,
and then possibly rove thereafter?
To me, throwing Gonzalez to the wolves is a joke. When Nixon was president, was being nailed for Watergate, he put his attorney general out there. And the tapes have a wonderful, White House tapes that they found have a great line. They sent out the attorney general to twist slowly in the wind. Cheney loves watching Gonzalez hang and dangle. He loves it. Karl Rove loves it. This guy is taking all the bullets, all the heat, and then they're just going to cut him down. They're going to tell him to resign, that he's finished, and that'll be the end of that. But he had nothing to do with it. He was just the shill. When he says he didn't know anything, he didn't know anything. But, by the way, that doesn't make him not culpable. I used to bring racketeering cases in the United States for something called willful failure to know, that crime bosses use. Don't tell me what you're doing, but make sure you get it done. Same with Gonzalez. He didn't want it. When it came out that there was some discussion with him about the U.S. attorneys, and he says he doesn't remember, I know what he said. He said, don't tell me. Get out of the office. I don't want to know. He didn't say stop it. He's just, I don't want to know. But Karl Rove was the guy that did this. Harriet Meyer is probably someone you may not know, but she's a real fixer for George Bush going back to Texas days. These are criminals. This is obstruction of justice. It is a crime in the United States to do this. And they're blaming the attorney general. It ain't the attorney, yes, he should go because this happened and he let it happen. But he wasn't the mastermind. Once again, Karl Rove engineered the leaks in the in exposing a CIA agent, which was a criminal act. He was the one orchestrating the illegal removal of voters. He was the one orchestrating the firing of prosecutors. And every time these things go, get hearings, someone else's head rolls, not his. Libby goes to jail, not Rove. Gonzalez will lose his job, not Rove. And ultimately, there's one other actor in here who's skipping the bullet, which is George Bush. Let's remember, he is the guy who's appointing these prosecutors and removing them. They serve at the request of the president. That's the man. And so it's Rove and his nominal boss, even though it's not clear who's the puppet and who's the puppeteer.
Well, thank you very much, Greg.